are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. What? This is episode number 79. Brothers Geek
79.
Podcast.
79. Greetings on Labor Day. It is Labor Day.
September 4th. We are laboring
on Labor Day. For you, loyal listeners.
For you.
For you.
I'm
we are the Schmaltz brothers. I'm Patrick Schmaltz. There's Christopher Schmaltz. Say hello, Christopher.
Hi.
Yes. And Andrew Schmaltz.
Hello.
We're brothers for geeks. We talk about
it's another
stuff.
It's another daylight recording. Expect the energy level to be very high.
I like the daylight recordings.
Daylight recordings are fun
because you come home after working 12 hours on set and then you're exhausted and then you try to record and then you yell at your brothers and then you hate
your baby.
You know, yourself. You make fun of people like you're not exhausted at the end of a long day, Christopher.
Wow. I'm tired. I can't sit and talk.
This is what happens when brothers get on a podcast together.
I can't sit and talk because I'm so tired.
Just because you're Mr. Energy now, okay? Running all the time, losing weight, okay?
My name is Christopher. I've lost 97,000 pounds.
Not quite 97,000 pounds.
You do look like you gave up eating completely. I think you remind me.
Yes, I essentially gave up.
You remind me of Christian Bale from The Machinist. Have you seen The Machinist?
I don't know if it's that
not
bad.
Quite that bad.
The issue is, and I experienced this when I lost a bunch of weight. Christopher has not replaced his clothes. So everything hangs on him.
I have slowly replaced pieces of it. But yes, I.
That's the commitment, right? That's the commitment if you buy like the new form fitting loose clothes, like you can't gain that weight back.
Yep.
Like that's a commitment, right? It's like you got to stay like this.
Yeah. No. Have you developed the tail in your work pants? Because your waist has narrowed so much that you have like the tail on the back.
No, you've since your yes. That has been really the only thing I've purchased. Some casual shirts and a couple of casual pairs of two pairs of shorts and a pair of jeans.
Mm.
And then all my other new clothing have been work related. Because all of my suits.
You can't look like a tiny person inside the giant suit, like coming to work.
Yeah,
baggy and ridiculous.
So much weight all of that.
That's awesome, though. Good for you.
It is good for you, man. It's great.
Congratulations. Yeah,
training for a half marathon in the fall and at the end of October. Awesome. So I'm psyched about that.
Yeah, man.
I always wanted to do a half marathon. I got to the point where I could run that far, but I never signed up for one, and I don't know. I should probably work my way towards that.
Where are you
again.
Doing a half marathon, Christopher? Where's there a half marathon?
There are multiple half marathons of fall.
Okay.
It's a very popular marathon and half marathon season. And so.
But in Phoenix?
Tucson or Phoenix?
Mm. Oh, okay. The one that I'm doing is a Halloween themed one. It's called the Wicked Marathon.
Okay.
It's in Peoria.
Okay.
And they have a marathon and a half marathon. In fact, their marathon is a Boston qualifier.
Really?
Certified Boston marathon qualifier. Yeah.
That's cool.
But our family friends, our friends Pam and her daughter are running in it. It's Pam's birthday that day. It's October 29th. Mm.
Cool.
And so I'm running that with them on the 29th of October. And it's, you know, they're. The medal that they give out is a ghost.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, Halloween theme, so it'll be fun.
So you're going to be running that weekend instead of watching Stranger Things Season 2.
I will be. Well, the marathon starts at 7:30. Hopefully I will finish that in less than 2.5 hours, and then I'll be able to recover and watch the rest. So,
absolutely, absolutely.
Cool, man.
The day before that is American Cancer Society walk that Susan and I and our other friends are doing in Tempe.
Oh no, Susan's
very active.
Susan's pulling me into that as well.
Yes, as you should. And Patrick, we're going to hit you up too. Susan's putting together a team for I forget the actual name of it, and I'm a bad person because I'm doing that. It is American Cancer Society walk, benefit walk. That's like a 5K, and I think I'm going to run it. as an easy prep for the next day. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah, no, I feel great. I was exhausted and very sore. I ran. We went camping this weekend up between Payson and Heber, and it's 7,300 feet up there on the
rim.
Yeah,
that air is gonna be thin.
And I ran 5 miles Saturday morning. And I ran a 10K, 6.2, Sunday morning in at that 7,300 feet. And I set a PR in the 10K. I ran hard.
Nicely done.
I felt nice. Great. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm feeling good. And that's the main point is I'm feeling good. So.
Yeah, man. I mean,
that's the best.
That's what it equates to is like you start to feel better, run,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
stand
no,
better.
I've done it. I've taken it slow, and I haven't gotten injured. Knock on wood. I've really been careful about doing things.
Don't push
carefully.
Yourself too hard. Right. Right. Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome, man.
More energy to play games. I love it.
Yes. Hell yes.
Let's go.
Do we have any news, or should we just go right into some scene? Because we have some Game of Thrones season 7 finale discussion to do here.
Dude.
So, Game of Thrones season 7 finale was last Sunday.
The only news, and we should talk about briefly is that Destiny 2 comes out in 2 days.
Right.
Yeah, oh, I have not made my pre-order yet. Christopher, did you buy just the base game, or did you buy expansions? You've purchased it already, right?
No, I bought the base game plus the season pass.
The season pass, okay.
Season pass.
You know, I was looking on Xbox One store yesterday, and they offer like the $60 base game, and then they have an $80 option, which gets, I think, you one or two expansions.
Two expansions.
Yeah, and then they have another option that's like $100.
Deluxe digital download.
It's a deluxe digital download where it's the game, two expansions, and then you get like a kill tracker ghost.
Yes.
And like a special emblem or something,
yes,
and like something else.
And
I'm
some legendary
tempted.
Weapons. Two legendary
I'm
weapons.
Almost, yeah. Honestly, the Kill Tracker Ghost sounds so cool.
It does sound cool,
Whenever you pop your ghost in-game, it'll like pop your numbers for you for PvP and PvE.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's tempting for me. I don't know. So we'll see.
They should just put that in the game.
You don't play many games, and you don't spend a lot of money on games, so... I would be of the mind that this is a game that you love and you play a ton and you play more than any other game you've ever played in your life.
It's true.
And so it's the kind of thing where I know I'm going to play this a ton.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would approach that by like,
that's exactly the mindset I'm thinking about. So,
yep.
Yeah. So I'll make my purchase today. So, I mean,
have you read, this is in the realm of news. Have you read about when do they turn the switch on? Because ordered it and it was downloaded to my Xbox.
Oh, no, whenever the servers go live based on your time zone, I guess.
Have you seen the time?
I think, is it midnight? Is it midnight on Tuesday?
It actually might be 9 p.m. Tuesday because that'll be midnight on the east. So I think it's, even though Bungie is in Seattle, I feel like it goes live.
Oh,
I haven't investigated directly. It might be 9 p.m.
Oh, we need to figure that out.
It'll either be 9 p.m. tomorrow night. The 5th in Arizona, or because we're on Pacific time, which is Bunzi, and that'll be midnight Eastern, or it'll be midnight Pacific. So that's something we definitely got to figure out.
That's something you need to be finding out right now while we're podcasting, Andrew, because we need to provide this information to our listeners, but I need it.
Okay. When will Destiny 2 go live?
Yeah. So
I'm trying to get this article.
I'm looking forward to that very much. Any other news, Patrick? Did you finish up your filming?
We're all finished. We finished this week. We shot on location in Southern Oregon or Eastern Oregon, I guess. It's Lapine, Oregon. We were there all week. We got smoked out one day from the forest fires that we're surrounded by.
No kidding.
So we had to stop filming for safety reasons. And then we went back the next day and finished up our filming, and that was a wrap. Wrap party.
Did they do a big wrap party back in Portland?
They did it back in Portland. Everybody drove back. I got paid to travel, and then I came home and slept, and then I went to a rap party that night. So it's nice. Pretty awesome. Yep, got free drinks and
Before we go any further,
yeah,
with Destiny 2 release coming up the next week, this is from GameSpot.com.
Mm-hmm.
Bungie has now answered more key details about the launch and more. Starting off, Bungie confirmed when the game servers will go live. It'll be a rolling midnight release across the world. In other words, you can start playing at 12 a.m. on September 6th in your country. In the U.S., this means the servers will unlock at midnight Eastern time.
Oh.
While Destiny 2 won't unlock September 6th, people on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One can begin preloading now. So midnight Eastern time.
Mm.
That's 9
that's
p.m. Beautiful.
That's
9
a beautiful
p.m.
thing.
Yeah, so I got to buy
Monday,
it today.
Monday
so
night,
I know, you know what I'm doing tomorrow night.
Heck yeah.
Dude, it's going to be so... like, Destiny 1 first coming out was... That's my only problem is Destiny 1 kind of burnt me out, dude, with all their server problems and bug problems and getting booted all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's soured you on the experience.
It soured me, for sure.
I completely understand that.
So
I didn't have any drop... I mean, I had the occasional one, but I never had any connection issues, ever.
I had constant battling with connection issues.
I think that has to do with your IP.
Oh, no, it totally does. Comcast? No. Comcast and the Xbox 360 specifically they had problems. Like, they had... I don't know what it was. Like, there was all these articles about, like, them not meshing well. Like, their servers not being able to, like, handle it. So Comcast...
You're on Xbox One now, though, right?
I'm on Xbox One, and since I played Destiny 1 on the Xbox One, because I played it mostly on the 360, it improved. It played a lot better, and the servers were much better, but specifically the 360, like, was just a hot mess.
I remember that, because we all started on 360.
Yeah,
once
we did.
I switched to Xbox One, I feel like it did get a lot more stable.
It got a lot more stable, and it could handle it a lot better. But, yeah, still, I mean, Comcast Internet is not great, and there's no reason that it shouldn't be great, because it's, like, the biggest monopoly ridiculousness ever.
Actually, it's counterintuitive. They don't have any motivation to do better.
You're 100% right. And that's jacked up. That's stupid. I think I'm going to buy it eventually, but I'm still playing Fortnite and I'm still playing Path of Exile, which I'll talk and played. So I don't know if I'm going to pull the trigger right at launch like you guys are, but I will probably watch your Twitch streams if you guys Twitch anything of this.
Okay.
Very good idea that I will need some assistance with.
I will help you.
Exactly.
Recording and streaming of the sort of opening of it all would be fun to do.
We have a Brothers stream? Geek Twitch. Yes, we have a Brothers Geek Twitch.
Played.
I can give you all the information, and all you basically need to do is put it in your Xbox, download Twitch on your Xbox, and then...
I have that, yeah.
And then put the information in there, and then you just hit record, and it'll go right to it. It'll start streaming it.
Send me the info.
Compared to Twitching on your PC, it's much, much easier.
Send me the info.
I will. All right. Well, that's the news. Let's get some scene in here. So Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Season seven finale.
Complete.
This happened a week ago. So, I mean,
We're going to spoil the shit out of this.
So if you haven't watched it, maybe skip ahead 10 minutes or go.
What have you been doing with your life?
Pretty much.
Exactly.
If you haven't finished yet.
Priorities.
Please.
Before I defend myself here, do you guys want to... say what you thought of the season finale?
Of course we do.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It was a decidedly mixed bag of a season.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yes.
Very much. We're going to talk about the whole season. I agree with decidedly mixed bag. There was very high highs.
Tremendous moments.
Yes.
There was no single episode that was like a consistently epic episode.
Yes.
Almost every episode had eye roll moments of really that's what you're doing. For me anyway.
Yeah,
it was a mixed bag. It really, I had multiple sort of moments of, what are they thinking? What are they doing? Mm-hmm, why are they doing that?
I thought I was going to come in here and you guys were going to say you loved it, and I was going to have to tell you how terribly wrong you were.
Nope.
Because
I think we're all on the same page on there were some fantastic moments, some great scenes, some awesome CGI, some really cool stuff.
Yep.
Completely. But the storytelling, I think, was at times terrible.
Here's my main gripe. I loved how they got when they got to places like dragons fighting undead, dragons, you know, shooting fire at the wall.
Yeah,
you know,
their dragons, set pieces were awesome.
Right.
Awesome.
They're great
at set pieces.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Like John and this ragtag group, like running from the undead. But the reasons they got there and the reasons, the motivations behind the things were dumb and stupid.
A lot of dumb decision making.
A lot of stupid decision making. And here's the greatest question, my greatest takeaway from the finale. If John, listen to this train of thoughts. If John doesn't decide to go over the wall and get the undead guy, and Daenerys doesn't show up with the dragon, and the Night King doesn't kill the dragon, how the fuck are they getting through the wall? Like,
true.
What's their grand plan for getting? If they didn't do that, how are the undead getting through the wall? They're not. Like, so to me, that's like, it's like a MacGuffin mixed with Deus Ex Machina. It's a Deus Ex MacGuffin.
And but you go down that road, dude, and it's never ending, because why did it take so long for them to get to the wall?
Yeah,
right.
They were in Hardhome.
We saw them marching in season 4.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you make
it. It all unravels if you start down that logic.
Okay,
it's
so
it's like a time travel movie. If you start thinking about it too hard, it makes
sense.
I always have a problem with that kind of criticism,
right?
Because it will all unravel at some point. You have to decide that I'm going to suspend my disbelief with regard to all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
the choices that Ned Stark made resulted in the wall coming down, dude.
If you first want to make a apple pie, you apple pie from scratch. You know, you got to make the universe, kind of a thing. We're talking about Littlefinger.
Yeah, I understand.
It's
so.
I'm
sure you're questioning sort of the narrative decision and choices that are being made by the writers of the show. Mm-hmm. And I guess my response to that is make your own show.
Yeah.
That has a different tale. Mm. So I get it. There are multiple different ways of – I offer you an alternative theory. Bran went over the wall. Hello, are you there?
Yeah.
Hello? Bran went over the wall, right? The Night King touched him in the vision, right? Mm-hmm. And that gave the Night King access to the Three-Eyed Raven's lair and cave, right?
Uh-huh.
So by the Night King touching Bran, does that mean, or could that have translated into, if Bran crosses the wall, that means that the Night King can go through the wall? Because there are wards and magic built into the wall.
That's
right. So this is a different narrative path. The Night King, of course, is like, this is an opportunity for me to get an undead dragon. Awesome.
Yeah.
So he does that, and he carves out a whole section of the wall. But an alternative theory could have been, and I've read this online, because Bran crossed the ward, and because the Night King touched Bran in the vision space, that allowed that broke the barriers.
Right.
So there's a way to solve that in multiple different ways.
I've also heard the theory. There's been tons of these articles saying that Bran might be the Night King.
I've seen that too. Yeah.
I don't know about that. That seems a little reachy for me.
It does seem a little reachy for me too. I don't know. I mean, I love this show on so many levels, obviously, and I had to take a step back because there were moments when I was yelling at the television in excitement, and I was also yelling at the television in frustration.
Yeah,
but there was not any moment of any episode this entire season where I don't think I was totally sucked into what was going on.
Correct.
Where I didn't like sit back and think.
Well, because you know, because
they've lost me. At no point did I say they've lost me. This is beyond the pale. I'm now just this is like I'm inflicting this on myself because I can't not watch.
Here's my main gripe, Andrew.
Every single moment.
Here's my main gripe. I'm right there with you. For the first five seasons, I really liked it. I think they actually started to lose it season six, to be honest with you. But it's resolution time, and
season left.
I know, and the resolutions are not good. Like I'm not liking how simplified it's become, and how
I understand that
basic. It seems so basic. I think
criticism.
the worst thing that happened to the show was it got way too popular, and I feel like they've had to dumb it down to simplify it so people can understand what the hell is going
on.
That.
I will. My main, and this piggybacks off of what Chris said at the very beginning of the discussion. I miss like the big set piece episodes, and we really only got one. I mean, if you think about it, this season, the Magnificent Seven going north of the wall to get that was kind of their set piece bottle episode, where it really kind of only had one plot where everybody got pulled into it. The very best episodes we can think of are the bottle episodes, where they tell one story over the entire episode.
Yeah, so, and then they screw it up. Like that episode should have been like a top five all time.
I think that episode, dude. I'm so
but they
so
screw it up by having the Gendry run back to the wall.
Exactly,
and then he sends a raven. Is this raven on like? They would have to be in the middle of that lake for like 4 days, waiting for Daenerys.
You can like mess with timeline stuff to a certain point, and people will accept it. Viewers and readers will accept it.
They just traveled for 2 weeks, and we don't need to see them traveling for 2 weeks.
You can do that kind of thing, but in the human scale, you can't you can't do things in such a way that defy sort of basic human understanding of time frames.
I will say this. Okay, I'm going to go back to positive things that we can say. In the finale itself, which is the longest episode they've ever run, we actually got long conversations between characters.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I love those moments. I remember in season one where it would be long conversations between characters, when it would be Robert Baratheon and Cersei in a room, and they would just talk for 5 minutes, and there was so much going on, and they didn't need someone getting killed every 9 minutes to keep you interested in what was going on, or you know, a sword fight or something like that. While the sword fights are awesome, and I really wanted Jon Snow to fight some Dothraki this season or something like that, there were long moments in the finale where
I don't think that's ever going to happen, dude. You're talking about fan fiction right there.
You know what? And you know why I think that this is Martin is such a interesting and great storyteller, because he is able to weave those long narrative and reveal sort of interesting connection points and plot and all of that, but also weave into that set pieces. Mm-hmm. And the problem with the showrunners now and the writers now, without having to rely on, and they are beyond sort of what Martin has produced for them, right? They're not able to take from the books. Is that they've flipped it to now they're really focused on set piece kind of storytelling.
Yeah.
And they just don't allow the characters to show the story rather than connecting set piece dots. They can do those set pieces, but that's not real, like, interesting storytelling.
It's not. You're right.
And Martin is a genius at that. And his books are sort of – they lay out this elaborate sort of thing, which is why everyone loves it and why it was such a hit at the beginning, because it was counter to the normal fantasy trope, right? And now we're sort of deep in the weeds on fantasy trope without a full commitment to the fantasy trope. And so the showrunners are – they're kind of – they're stuck, and I don't think they are as good at Martin at writing those
nowhere near
right. Mm-hmm. And they're technically excellent at the directing set piece,
right?
Yes,
but man, it's just missing something, because Martin has layers and layers,
right,
to the story where this is kind of 2 inches deep a little bit.
Yeah,
it has gotten 2 inches deep. You're right. It's coming to a very fine point.
That happens a lot to do with the seven episode run too. I mean, could that be a money thing? This is their biggest show. Give us 10 episodes and take
money.
A little.
HBO is spending.
I know, but like
so much money.
But like each is like a because what we're talking about, like each episode having like its own set piece and this big thing, maybe they had to negotiate that budget down because they went so big.
Oh no, I think HBO is just throwing. I've watched some behind the scenes videos just to like kind of prolong the feeling that I get from every episode. Like when they did the loot train set piece this year, they have been it wasn't even that, it was the zombie polar bear set piece,
the
Magnificent Seven, and the
fantastic scene. I mean, it's just fantastic.
They've wanted to write a scene like that for years, and they've always been told no. Like, special effects people have been like, no, we can't make it work. It's too expensive. It's too this. I think they have a blank check at this point.
Well, where the hell is Ghost this whole season? Like, if they have the money to write the zombie polar bear, where's Ghost this whole season? I thought he was dead. You know, come on.
I don't understand that at all.
Yeah,
I honestly can't understand. We didn't see Ghost at all. How can Ghost not be always with John?
Right.
Yep. I agree.
Like, it's silly.
I don't understand that.
Neither do I.
Yeah. There were so many like just quick. I feel like they're just like quick fixes and laziness. I feel like they wanted to like blow shit up, and they forgot why this show was good in the first place.
Oh, we got to tell a story while we blow shit up.
Yeah. You can't just like, hey, wouldn't it be great if all these seven went over and tried to get an Unden guy? Well, how do we get there? What's the reason for doing that? Okay, well, this is the reason they do that. And it's like
they kidnap a white? I mean, come on, really?
Yeah, that's your plan? Like, that sounds... Yeah.
It's not like they wander around by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're always in a vast army.
And, up until this point, they're scary as shit. Like, you know, like you see a white and you're
who? I mean, seriously, who remembers? I mean, the prologue in the very first episode, where the Rangers have gone north of the wall and they encounter like the decapitated body. It was so scary and small.
And that one white killed like four dudes. You know,
yeah.
And like when the Magnificent Seven go over to the wall. And dude, none of them die. Like, what's his name? Like Thoris of Mir died, but like, I wanted Jorah Mormont to die. Right, tons of red shirts died. But we're griping about how
we wish it was a smaller, more intimate feel where it was had a little more scariness and had a little more depth and a little more kind of. I mean, we're still also invested in these characters. The story is so big. We have to get to a point where it all comes together.
We've had six good seasons of goodness.
This is end of the world narrative, right?
So it is.
There is the beauty of it was the real focus on family. At the beginning, it's real focused on, like you said, small narrative, really interesting sort of tale, a large tale told through families and relationships and siblings and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they're in a real – I feel for them because they are in a real dilemma because it's end of the world. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, catastrophe. And so they have to sort of figure out a way. And frankly, they've demonstrated that they're not quite up to it to weave the end of the world threat and also keep a grip on that small narrative. Tell the story through, oh, my God, we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how to balance that and how to do that. Martin, I think, is really good at that.
Yeah.
But I think they're struggling with it. And I think that it's the rare writer and person who is good at that. I think it's really hard to do. And so seeing them sort of work through that, I have high hopes for the final season. They've got more time. They've got...
Yeah, we might not see it until 2019.
Yeah, they've got time to do it. They've got an opportunity to really maybe they hopefully go back to the well and talk to Martin, and he helps them through sort of here's right. the thread and how it should work.
See, like
I have feel... no idea. I haven't read. I don't know if you guys have read how involved he was and what he mm-hmm. what he was
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, I haven't read anything about that either. Well, there's no news about how involved he is. I would have loved 10 episodes, and they could have spent 3 episodes talking, and I would have been totally happy with it. Like, they didn't need to go big for those 3 episodes, and I don't know. I'm walking away a little sour on this season because I wanted it to be so good, because we're resolution time, and
we haven't even talked about
the most troubling narrative thread, which was the Arya Sansa thing.
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Arya acting seemingly out of character, mm-hmm. you know, the viewers were kept in the dark as much as everyone else around them, and I understand that sort of narrative choice, except they were acting weirdly, even in scenes where it's just Arya and Sansa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they were plotting and thinking of this is the way we're going to we can't trust Littlefinger, blah, 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 and you would think that they would be – Arya would be the master planner, right? She's got all the training. She's got all the training on lying. She's got all of that, right?
Well, and then Sansa is kind of the master liar now too, because she's experienced – she's seen all the best liars in the world.
Exactly. You know? And so why wouldn't they be – saying exactly all those things? Well, they do that because the narrators, the storytellers, want to pull one over and do a twist for the viewers too, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They waited until the final episode, until the moment that in the Great Hall that they do the twist. So everybody is surprised. Well, it's either you're the viewers, what I struggled with was that either you don't get the Arya character at all, and so you're totally screwing this up. Or, okay, if it's the opposite, then we know exactly where this is headed. So it's not satisfying on either level, because if you like, okay, she's really scheming and manipulating, and Baelish is going to get what's coming to him, you can telegraph all of that. So if it's not a surprise that at the end – she turns and says, you know, and confronts Littlefinger. So
see,
I really thought
Arya was in jeopardy. I was totally sucked into that moment. And
I thought it was bullshit. Like,
I never had a moment where she was in jeopardy.
I was like, this is such bullshit.
She is the in charge at all times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only scene that was out of character for that was the Sansa Arya when they're in the room and she hands her the dagger. Like, why did they even do that scene? That scene should have been, like, in front of other people, or, like, them challenging each other in a weird way. Because if they're alone like that, why are they talking to each other in this way? It seems so weird.
It didn't make much sense.
Yes.
It didn't make much sense.
That's the only scene that kind of didn't fit that whole plot. You know,
well, there are multiple moments that didn't fit that
right
because
right.
they're acting weird, you know, and Sansa with Littlefinger, you know, he's doing his Littlefinger thing, but Sansa, you know, my God, she doesn't trust him, and she knows she shouldn't trust him,
but she's also taking his advice,
and she's allowing herself to be alone.
Sending Brienne away, like that whole scene, like didn't make much sense either, like. Okay, it seemed like she was trusting Littlefinger, you know, and why would she send Brienne away if she doesn't trust Littlefinger, you know? Okay. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I had trouble with – that was the main thread that I had the most trouble with, that Winterfell stuff.
Any other thing you want to bring up on that? Otherwise, we're going to move on to me finishing The Defenders.
Nah.
But – I would just put a bow on it by saying that I love the show,
and I will absolutely watch this, Susan and I together.
I just love the world that they've all created, that they're telling stories in, that these are criticisms grounded in a love for the world and the show and the books.
Absolutely.
So, it's all about – I want the payoff in the final season to be incredible.
Totally.
I fully expect
it to be amazing. I'm gonna, when we get to Red, I will. I have I've come to a decision about things, and we get to Red. I'll explain to you guys. All right. And my lack of Game of Thrones content right now is informing my decision for Red. So when we get there, I'll tell you guys exactly.
Okay,
what I'm
good.
Thinking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Defenders?
I was about four episodes in last time, so I finished it. A similar kind of a feeling. I like the resolution. I like the big arc with the hand that kind of that went down. But I don't know if I like exactly how they got there. If that makes sense. You know, it was kind of, there was parts that were very good. Danny Rand kind of pissed me off a little bit. I'm hoping that his character improves over the course of Iron
Fist 2.
Well, I like
where they leave Danny Rand's character. I like that he gets to a point where now he's going to be less concerned with, and I suppose that he couldn't not be totally concerned with the hand,
right?
Because they destroyed Kunlun or whatever, and now that
Kunlun vanished or whatever, right?
He is going to be a more outward, proactive, less selfish, less self focused person, and be more of a hero. That's his last shot. Him on top of the building,
yeah.
Like wearing kind of his green whatever, is kind of I'm almost a superhero outfit, and doing that. I like where they leave that, because Danny Rand being more outwardly heroic would be nice, rather than him being this selfish, rich little punk.
Well, the character resolution for his story is like, hey, the hand's gone. What am I doing now? Or the hand is like very weak and not, you know, like what it used to be. So
he's responding to Daredevil's seeming sacrifice.
Totally.
Daredevil is the truest form of the hero in the story.
Yeah.
And he comes to and now he's gone.
He's the one, right. He was the one who was like accepting his life as a hero, you know,
yes.
Versus the rest of them who were like battling with it, or like they want to do the right thing, but they don't necessarily want to like go out and fight muggers every day. So it was an interesting resolution. I don't know if I like what happened with Daredevil. I'm kind of on the fence with it. I like it and I kind of hate it. I don't want him to die, but it's like obvious that they can't kill him because they've already announced Daredevil season 3. So it's good and it's bad, and there's parts of it I really like. The kung fu and the action was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah,
so much better
scenes,
than Iron
the fight
Fist.
Fight scenes were really, really good.
Really good.
Very strong action fight scenes.
Yeah,
yes.
The stuff with Elektra, too, like, really fun to watch.
Yes.
And Daredevil is so fun. So I did, in the week since, I have been binge-watching Daredevil again. So I finished Daredevil, and then I've restarted Defenders again, because so much of what happens in Daredevil season 2 impacts this, and we've had to wait like Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and like Jessica Jones to come out to have a resolution of that. So those two are really the ones you need to watch to understand what the hell. I mean, there's parts of stuff that happens in Iron Fist that impact this, but this is really like the end of Daredevil's story, kind of the hand and him and Elektra.
Yeah, the first part of his story, absolutely.
And Elektra, like, being the Black Sky, and that all starts there. They talk about the Chaste in Daredevil season 2, and I didn't pick that up the first time.
I didn't remember that, yeah.
They say it one time, I've noticed.
Oh, wow.
They say, oh, yeah, you know, he's a member of the Chaste, and I don't even remember them saying that ever, but now, because it's in Defenders, it makes sense, and all. It was a really cool resolution of that, and I like that story. I think they had that planned a while ago. So
it definitely feels like, it definitely felt like for me that Daredevil had the most complete narrative arc.
Yeah, totally.
Through his two seasons and through the Defenders.
And like his love of Elektra is really like his choice to stay down there, you know? And his choosing to be a hero, because like Daredevil season 2, it's all about him like
being tempted by his more violent impulses.
Well, not even that. It's like I'm living a double life, and one of these days I'm going to have to choose one of them. And he, in Daredevil season 2, he chose to be Daredevil instead of being a lawyer, and it ended up killing Elektra, he thinks. And so he kind of gives up being Daredevil because he's living with like this regret, and that's the beginning of Defenders. And then over the course of Defenders, he's sort of like, this is what I need to do. Shit's going down. I have to help people. I don't give a crap about my regular life anymore. Like, if it comes to that, I'll die. And that's what he did. He chose to risk everything. So I think it was great. I like that plot a lot. And I enjoyed it. So that's
me too.
That's my 2 cents. Any other scene that you guys want to touch on?
I will touch on one scene briefly.
Okay,
I sent you guys a message. I've Last of the Mohicans on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah.
I bought that and I watched it yesterday with the Michael Mann commentary.
Oh yeah.
And wow, he is a smart guy. He immersed himself in the history of the time period. He goes on long winding kind of explanations about native cultures and how that informed his, you know, how the accuracy they tried to use in terms of the Mohican people and the Iroquois speaking people and the cultural realities that these people would be dealing with, and how James Fenimore Cooper, the original author of the text, actually oversimplifies everything and takes a very white savior idea to things rather than it being a story about the native peoples and how sophisticated their cultures were. Mm. And his background and all of that, and how, you know, the design, and I mean the fort battle, and how they actually like cut down all the trees and built the fort for real, and how there's so little CG and how everything is done practically. And I suppose that was a reflection of the times. I mean, the movie was made in 1991. We all know these stories about how Daniel Day-Lewis comes out and lives as his character to immerse himself in that world. He did. I mean, he's this son of a poet from London, half Irish, half Jewish kid, and he goes and he does survival training with special forces guys, and he learns all the skills that Hawkeye would have, and he lives that way, and it was just incredible. The commentary was amazing. The movie is fantastic. I've watched it so many times, but it's amazing. The Blu-ray how it looks on Blu-ray. The commentary is incredible.
I bet it looks amazing on Blu-ray. Gosh.
Filming it in the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina. I want to go to the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina.
That movie is
it
shot
is so
beautiful. Oh my god. Yeah.
Yeah. Dante Spinotti, I'm pronouncing his name probably incorrectly. Mm-hmm. He's the DP on it, and I mean Michael Mann just raves about him through the whole commentary. So they use natural light for almost everything.
And probably as a film score guy, probably top five favorite ever.
He
talks about the music. He talks about
the music is
in the
so
movie,
good. Dude.
All through the thread of his commentary, he talks about how the music had. Yeah, it's incredible. It's such an incredible commentary. I would say anybody who has is a Michael Mann fan or even a Daniel Day-Lewis fan, because he just raves about Daniel Day-Lewis. They are lifelong friends. They hadn't met before they made this movie, and Michael Mann is like, he is one of the kindest, most genuine people I've ever met. And we're still friends to this day. So kind of, they basically just fell in love on this movie, and they've stayed friends the whole time. It's pretty incredible to hear him talk about.
Like, I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis is one of the greatest all-time actors ever. Like, that goes with that. I mean, and this movie, Michael Mann is one of the greatest subtle, interesting, complicated directors ever. Like, Heat and Miami Vice, which I think is really good.
Underrated
Michael Mann movie. Miami Vice is actually a really good.
And, I can watch that anytime.
Totally.
Collateral, even his first.
Collateral is really interesting. Really interesting. Yeah. And super advances in technology in that movie. That was one of the first digital recorded, and it looks a little grainy, but it's at night the whole time.
On purpose, it
leaps and bounds in technology that has led us to everybody using digital cameras to make movies now and TV shows. So that, I mean, it was like trendsetting.
Except for Star Wars. They still shoot Star Wars on film.
Well, anything over 100 million, and you might as well make it on film. That's sort of
I'm with you.
Most of Marvel stuff, they all still shoot on film. But but like it's like anything under 50, you're shooting. It's a very, very cheap way to make your movie, and it doesn't look bad.
Good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, no, the Last Mohicans commentary on the Blu-ray, it was $8 at Walmart, dude. It is worth
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's my scene.
Every weekend I go to this like thrift store that sells like used DVDs, Blu-rays, and video games, and I just browse and see what they got. And you know, so I've been picking up like random Blu-rays for like $5. It's awesome. Like,
yep.
They just have like used Blu-rays and stuff. It's been pretty versus buying like a $30 Blu-ray. Maybe I'll watch once. Like I'll buy, you know, like I bought Kingdom of Heaven, the director's cut.
Dude, that is such a good director's
cut. I know.
I will say this. Will say this about, because you just reminded me. It says that it's a director's cut.
Yeah.
Version of Last Mohicans. It's almost indistinguishable from the theatrical version.
I don't even remember it well enough that I probably haven't seen it in like 20 years, so I have.
It's not like there's 30 minutes of extra footage.
Sure,
it's not
sure.
Like
I bet it's like five minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, director's cut. It seems very similar to the theatrical cut that I remember seeing. I mean, the little bit of trivia about Last Mohicans: first rated R movie I ever saw in the theater. It's rated R because of the violence level, which isn't even that bad. There's no F words. There's no nudity.
Mm-hmm.
Got rated R.
Still got rated R because of it's bloody.
Well, basically. I mean,
it's amazing to think about how.
If I remember correctly, there's a scene where a dude gets scalped and you see it. Like so.
Oh yeah, no, that's real. The violence is real. Yeah. Michael Mann does in very intense action scenes, and he does realism. You know, better than anybody.
Right.
But yeah, no nudity. I mean, nowadays, I really think that movie would be rated PG-13 because there's no nudity and there's no F-words.
Yeah, it's
I don't think there's any swearing through the whole movie.
It's interesting to think about, like, movie rating and how it's changed over the years and how we've focused less on violence being a thing, like, as a society.
It's the most ridiculous thing. It's all about,
right.
I mean,
yep.
violence is so pervasive now, but
right.
any kind of, the hint of any kind of sex and
right.
you know, family groups throw their hands up in anger.
Right, this is the backwards thinking that we have in this country. It's like, is you can't show one boob, something that everyone has, that like that half the population has. That is, but you show one boob and you get a rated R, but you can cut off a dude's head and you're PG-13.
Yeah.
You know, the 13-year-olds can see that like insane violence. But they can't see something that is natural and part of your life, you know?
Yeah.
That's so that's so stupid.
It makes no sense whatsoever.
It makes no sense.
That's our soapbox moment.
Soapbox. I syndromed at you guys a little bit.
That's okay.
I've been syndroming a lot this
episode. It was a mini
syndrome. Mini syndrome. We'll laugh for it.
Well, you're the king. Yeah. You're the king of syndroming, Christopher. So I fall to your hey, you know,
bent knee to the king of syndrome.
King of syndrome.
Walks like a duck. Talks like a duck.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to some red. Because
wait,
what?
Nope.
Oh, you didn't let me do.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Here we go. Here we go.
I apologize.
Okay, and you're stealing my thunder because I will continue on the Michael Mann train.
Ooh,
because I watched all 2 hours and do you realize that Heat is 2 hours and 50 minutes long?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Is it the director's cut version, or is that the regular version?
Hmm? No,
is that a director's cut?
Version.
That's a regular version? Wow.
I bought it on, I don't remember what's Amazon.
Okay.
Digital.
Okay.
And watched it from beginning to end, and it is stunningly awesome.
It is such a tremendous movie.
About. And it is, that movie is easily in my top 10 all time.
Oh, easily. So good.
When I think of, like, awesome...
Man is a genius,
right.
And his scenes of... Those scenes, and we've talked about these scenes often, the set pieces, the opening set piece is incredible, the bank heist sequence is incredible, the sequence at the end where... He goes and finds Wayne Grow in the hotel is incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's just so well done, all of that stuff. And then the parallel storytelling and the two virtuoso actors in the same movie interacting together, just really great. great entertainment. Great entertainment. So I watched that this past week and loved every moment of it.
That's awesome. Absolutely. That is a movie that is worthy of a rewatch.
You guys are making me want to watch both of those again.
That's the whole point. Yeah. Let's go.
You should.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to rewatch Heat this week now, so we can talk.
Heat is so good, man.
So good.
Do I have to watch all three? Miami Vice, Heat, and Last of the Mohicans.
And Collateral.
I got to rewatch all three of those.
All four.
You're gonna go down the Mike. We're going down the Michael Mann rabbit hole.
It's fine. It's a good rabbit hole. You know, I haven't seen Last of the Mohicans in years and years. So now I definitely need to. I've rewatched all of those, I think, in recent years, but I haven't rewatched Last of the Mohicans. So that's,
you got to check out Last of the Mohicans.
I got to do that for sure.
I need to borrow that, Andrew.
All right.
Yeah, no, I'll bring it over today. I got to drop off the key. So
yeah, cool.
I'll bring it over.
Right. Let's do some red.
Andrew,
what red do you have?
Well, I finished Murder on the Orient Express.
Nice.
Finally. What a tremendous ending to that story.
I know, right?
Wow, that's good.
So good.
And you can see how all of the murder mystery tropes kind of exploded. Sure. Out of that book. It is such an amazing ending. I can't wait to see if they do it right. If Kenneth Branagh gets it right in terms of how he tells the story on screen, it could be such a fun mystery.
There's got to be some interesting film work right there to keep it good.
How the reveals come up and how it builds to that, it was just an amazing kind of twist reveal ending. I loved it.
They're giving you, over the course of the book, they're giving you so much information about like who done it and all these like red herrings and like, what does this mean? What does that mean? And how he pieces it all together. So they're going to have to really do a good job of like summing it all up.
I'm worried about the movie in that sense too, because it's a lot of information to get in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or even if it's longer than that, and whether or not you'll be able to track all of it. But if Kenneth Branagh gets it right, oh my god, it could be such an entertaining film.
Here's the problem. The problem for a movie for today's day and age is the internet.
Yeah.
And the collective mind, even if people have not read the book, I think viewers and the expectation levels, people will forget. They'll sort of parse it, and the viewer are going to be like, oh wow, this is a cliche. Well, yeah, the cliche, it's because this story is the origin of all murder mystery cliches.
It is. Everything came from this story.
So you're confronted by, oh my god, that kind of environment. How do you put that art, that story out into this kind of environment where people will not know because they haven't read the book? But they will recognize so much in there, and the criticism will be, oh my god, this is such a cliche tale. It's like, yeah, that's the freaking point. Everything emerged from it. And so I worry about exactly that kind of reaction. There will be like two reactions. There will be the, oh my god, it's such a cliche story and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And there will also be like this is art, and this is this is from which all mysteries derive. Yeah. And there will be two narratives, and I don't know which one will win out. But if they pull it off, it's a great thing.
It could be a great thing. And
Have you guys heard of Murder by Death? Apparently, it's a kind of a spoof of this book.
I've heard of it.
I've never seen it. It's like Clue. I brought up Clue last week, but apparently, like Murder by Death is it's a Peter Sellers comedy. Detective story, but it's supposed to pull from this a lot and kind of make fun of
you know something is an you know just intrinsic part of popular culture when you spoof it.
Yeah.
If there's a spoof movie about Agatha Christie and all and her mysteries, then you know that it's just there's spoof movies of Star Wars, there's spoof movies of Westerns, there's spoof movies of spy movies, there's spoof movies of anything that is just ingrained in the culture at a kind of a genetic level, then you know that it is an essential part of our common pop culture experience. So of course there's going to be a spoof movie about the mystery story that Agatha Christie invented, essentially. So I can't wait for the movie to come out, honestly. I'm really excited for it. It's such a great ending to the book.
You enjoy the book
very much so, and so I'm going to, and that led to my next thinking about what I want to read next. And I was going to dive back into Patrick Rothfuss's King Killer Chronicle because I never finished it. But because Game of Thrones is over because I have been drooling for 6 years for a new Game of Thrones book, for a Song of Ice and Fire book. I'm not going to get back into Rothfuss's until he releases the third book so I can read them all back to back to back, because I'm not going to get sucked into another universe where I have to wait 5 years for it to resolve. Done.
I mean, so that's,
The trilogy is complete, and then I will read all of the books.
And these books are pretty long, so, I mean, it might take them a while. It might take them a few more years for that book to come out.
We'll see,
so,
but I'm honestly, if I'm going to read anything that's a serialized, you know, trilogy or long, I'm not starting it now and getting sucked in, and then I'm waiting with bated breath for the next damn book because I have to know where it goes.
I can't argue with that because I am so excited for the end of that, the third book, and dude, all I could say is like those two books are so freaking good, and I've actually recommended them to Chris Ryan, and Chris Ryan is loving the first book.
I'm not getting sucked in again.
Yeah, it's so good, dude.
I'm gonna let the
second book is one of the best fantasy books I've read in a long time. Like one of my favorite. It's so enjoyable to read. He's a really good writer. So.
Yeah, no, but I'm not getting sucked in.
I might actually start re-listen because Chris Ryan is reading them. I might re-listen to those two because they're so good, and that way I can talk to him about certain things. I'll read along with him.
I will not have that. I will not have that as a touchstone that I can interact with you guys about. But this is my decision that I came to yesterday. Right. I am good. Not starting the series until I can finish it.
Totally.
Yep.
Christopher, what red do you have?
What red do I have? I am working my way through Monstrous Volume 2.
Oh, yeah. What do
love
you think?
That.
Yeah, it's so good,
much.
Right?
It oh, is, man. I love the art and the story. Mm-hmm. It's all really interesting stuff.
And the direction they're going to is really crazy and fun.
I need to get that from you, Christopher, when you're done, so I can.
Yep.
How far are you into it?
That as well.
Are you to the island?
I'm at the very beginning of volume two.
Okay. The island is awesome.
Yep.
It's so weird.
Yep. They're on their way.
Cool.
I am listening to The Dark Tower.
Mm. Oh yeah.
It's moving slowly and really doesn't hold my interest a whole lot, and so I'm disappointed in that so far.
People have been talking about that book like they love it, and I started it too, and I don't know.
Anyway, it's slow. It ramps up slow. So it's an on-again, off-again thing. I'm also listening to the fantasy book called The Assassin's Apprentice. Have you heard of this book?
No.
No.
It's a beginning of a series that is one of the sort of standout fantasy series. Hold on, let me look up the author while I'm vamping here.
The Assassin's Apprentice.
Apprentice, huh?
Robin Hobb.
Robin Hobb.
Okay. I feel like I've seen this.
Yeah, I've heard about it a lot, it just recently there was some online book club or something was reading it, and so I decided to download it.
Give us the two sentence plot structure. What's the
bastard son of the heir to the throne of this world. He is an outcast because he's a bastard son, and then he is the book starts with him 6 years old, and then he's also his family is infused with sort of this magical ability, and he is raised as an apprentice to an assassin and the arts of being an assassin. In that world. And so it's a mix of, you know, sword and sorcery, but with an assassin's
Spin.
So
okay.
Yep.
Cool.
So it's, yeah, the premise is interesting, and I'm at the very beginning of that.
Okay.
I'm at the very beginning of that.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that's my red.
Awesome. The only red I have is I'm about halfway through volume two of Descender. I forgot how much I love this book. It's gorgeous watercolor art and the interesting story. I mean, the story's kind of derivative, but it's done in such a interesting, like, new way that it's really awesome. Really well written. I like the universe very much, and I can't wait to finish that. So, how far are you? You're like in volume three, right, Christopher? On that?
Yes, I am.
So, like, you've liked where the story is going. It's you've enjoyed it very much.
Oh yeah, no, okay. That's a great series.
Yeah, dude, I really like this series, and
the art's awesome. The writing is interesting. Mm-hmm. The dilemmas are interesting. Yeah. I like it a lot.
The whole, like, the universe is hunting down all the robots, and the robots are, like, trying to fight back, and, like, what this kid means to the robots, what is his, like, role, this kid robot, what his role in all this, and everyone kind of coming after him and wanting him, and it's so interesting, yeah, and there's so many questions.
The exploration of the origin code for the kid.
Right.
You know, when they discover that ancient, you know, android or robot or whatever it is, and they take code from that being and put it into the kid robot, and how that's connected to the larger narrative.
All these different planets and how they, like, interact with each other. So it's super cool. I love science fiction, and I love, you know, it's just a fun book to read. It's just enjoyable, and it's pretty, and yeah. So I can't recommend that one enough.
Yep. Great.
I did also, I forgot. I read Paper Girls Volume 3. Did I talk about that on this?
No.
Paper Girls Volume 3. So this is like, I don't know if you remember this. It's like four Paper Girls. It's kind of like Stranger Things with time travel. Four Paper Girls get caught up in, like, this time travel narrative thing, and Volume 3, my biggest gripe with this story is like, they keep asking questions and slowly answering them, like, but it just chugs you right along, and it's the quickest read ever. I probably read Volume 3 in 30 minutes. So it's not bad. I just want more. You know, I want them to go further and explain stuff a little better, because this volume was a lot of fun, but they gave you no information towards the overarching plot. It was sort of just like, it was like a bottle volume. You know, they explained a little bit of stuff, but nothing about the, like, who these people are, why they're after them, why they're getting caught up in this. What does this all mean? Because this is just like a time travel, like, mess. And I like it, but man, I don't know. I keep reading it. I don't know. It's so weird.
Okay.
But, I have frustrations with it. Let's say that the art is really cool though, but it's just,
if you're frustrated with it, it means you're invested in it,
right,
which is what the author wants.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're succeeding. I keep buying it, and, I'm frustrated because I want more, but it's good. It's good. I want more. So,
cool.
That's my red. Let's do some played. So Destiny 2 comes out in a couple days. What have you guys been playing instead of Destiny 2 leading up to Destiny 2?
I haven't been playing much, cause I've been letting the ground kind of,
right.
Was it fallow? Is that the term where you let it rest before you plant it again? I think that's the word.
Yeah.
I downloaded a Path of Exile. I only played it for maybe 10 minutes, though, after I downloaded it.
Yeah.
I chose a duelist. You pick up some gems and some weapons or whatever, and it's like got loot. And I just don't understand the aspects of the game. I suppose once I play it with you guys more, I will. But it's a dungeon crawler, which isn't my favorite type of game. I know you guys love them, but it's not my jam so much.
And I guess, need to play it. We need to play together, and we can talk through it.
Yeah,
we can,
talk through some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's unnecessarily complicated in terms of how you can build your weapons with the gems and stuff like that.
I think it definitely is complicated. Whether it's necessary and unnecessary, I haven't decided yet. I kind of like how complicated it is because it took me a while to figure it out too. So don't feel bad about that.
I've really only played it for about 15 minutes at most. I just ran around and killed some zombies on a beach or two.
See, that is the most unique part of this game, I think, because this is part of my play, too. We'll just do it. But
yeah,
the most unique part of this game for me is the gem and item aspect where you don't actually get powers on yourself. You pick up the gem that gives you the power, and then you have gems that can help that or change that ability in different ways, and that I feel is the most unique part of this game for sure. Otherwise it's just like a Diablo 3 clone or Diablo 2 clone even, because it looks kind of like Diablo 2. But I think that's part of the reason it's definitely like not straightforward. It's not like any other game, so that's like you really got to figure out that whole system, and this is how the passives work, and like the gems, and how item slots in your armor, and how they interact with each other, and how you can change them, and how you can augment your
gems.
Right. There's so many layers to it, because you can get a thing that will change the color of the gem slot so that you can put the ability that you want in there. Or you can get a thing that adds a slot to that item. Or you can get a thing that will make the item better or improve its rarity. There's so much of that in this game that is so complicated, but I love it. It's so
it's infinitely customizable.
Infinitely customizable. Chris and I could have the same characters. We could have all different abilities and play styles.
I downloaded a duelist, which you guys kind of poo-pooed my choice, saying he was a little squishy.
No.
But what do you guys play?
I started a Templar, which is
go ahead.
It's a magic melee kind of a character, which I
like
really
a cleric.
Yeah, I love it so far. I'm doing mace and shield action with like plate mail. I played late last night, and I've crossed a line where I'm starting to melt everyone very quickly, and my survivability has gone through the roof. So I figured a couple of gems out, and I'm just destroying people now. It's so much. Like, I'll walk into a big... There was a couple of times where I'm like, oh, shit, I need to pop my potions and stuff. But I, like, walk into a group now, and they die. Like, they're beyond.
All right.
You know?
Yeah, that's the fun of that game. This is on Xbox. I'm playing a ranger.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
they're a lot of fun.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing. At some point, you get to a point where you really look forward to the huge pack of enemies.
Right.
Because you're surrounded, and maybe you're taking some damage, but you are laying waste around you. You feel so powerful.
Yeah.
Once you figure out sort of the synergy of your gems and support gems and how they change how you kill things,
mm-hmm,
and how they keep you alive. It's really, really fun.
Yeah.
Really fun.
Yeah.
What level are you at, Patrick?
I am level 28 on my
Temple. I think my ranger is 30.
Oh, nice. We're right around each other. That's great.
Right there.
Yeah, we should definitely.
What's the level cap?
100.
100.
Holy shit.
It took me from 20 to 28. It's like 10 hours of gameplay.
It takes a while.
Wow. Yeah,
it's a free-to-play game.
I know.
For free. And we didn't make this point.
It's free.
This is a free-to-play game.
And I'm in Act 3. I've begun Act 3. I haven't played much of it. And there's 10 acts. There's so much gameplay. And like, I've read online, it's not about getting to level cap. This game is about the journey and about like playing and getting good loot along the way and like getting better gems, getting better abilities, and really making your character just nasty. And And so, like, a lot of games, it's like, get to the end, get to the end, get to the end. There is no end. This game is about the journey and enjoying it along the way. And I love that. I love
it. You can play all of that without spending a dime.
Without a dime. That's awesome. I might spend a little money just to expand my loot space, because just for like quality of life.
That. Yep.
Quality of life. I might just buy more loot space or more stash space. You know.
Right.
But other than that, I don't need to spend a dime. Like you yep. really don't. It's
nope.
I mean, a lot of the stuff you can
cool.
buy is like customizable or like make your character look a certain way. But like, I don't
yeah,
need any
cosmetic.
Of that.
Cosmetic.
That's what it is. That,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the word I was looking for. Thank you. Yeah, I don't need any of that. I don't.
But it's we should definitely play together.
Yeah,
it's much play together because it's really fun to play together.
It's more fun to play together, for sure. But
cool.
Yeah. What. You only played like 10 minutes, Andrew, so...
Yeah,
like,
I barely played anything.
I made a Ranger, and started a Ranger yesterday, too, just to play a little bit, so I can play with that character and level up with
cool.
you a little bit, if you want, so...
Yeah, I'd be down.
Sweet. Does anybody have any other play that they'd like to highlight? Christopher, you still playing Civ 6?
Yes, still playing Civ 6. I have multiple games going in Civ 6.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great.
Have
game.
You developed a particular culture that you like the best? That you, I mean, I know you said that you've played random cultures. You usually randomize it for yourself.
Well, he's playing the Scandinavians, right? The Vikings for a while.
Yes,
there,
yeah,
right?
I love the Vikings. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love the Vikings for their early game stuff in terms of their seagoing. Mm.
Yeah.
I love games
That's
that
so
are
fun.
Islands or large continents where there's seafaring.
Cool.
The land-based games, not so much. So I really enjoy the
nautical aspects.
The nautical. I enjoy those nations that have nautical bonuses or strength in nautical efforts.
Do you get to the point with the Vikings, with the Scandinavian nations, where you move beyond kind of the longboats era into
yes.
the, like kind of the heavy, the heavy gunboat kind of
yeah.
ship of the line area, where you can have like huge navy battles in game?
You can, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you hear they announced another Age of Empires game that they're going to come out with?
I did see that,
yeah.
I played that. I mean, I loved Age of Empires.
Age of Empires 2, I played the crap out of Age of Empires 2.
Yeah,
like,
great game.
Oh, my God, what a fantastic... So I probably picked that up just for nostalgia's sake.
I will check that out for sure.
Because I will have a million British longbowmen just raining down death on...
raining death.
Raining
those death. British longbowmen were killers.
They just wrecked people. I loved it so much.
I remember watching you play Age of Kings, I think, Patrick, where you play the Regicide game mode where you can't couldn't win until you killed the other guy's king.
Right. You have to hunt down his king, and he would run. Yeah. The little fat guy would start running from you, and you got to, like, you get your longbowman, and you're just like, Raid, get him! You know?
And
yeah,
he
just
runs faster than the arrows.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my God. So funny. So funny. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's our play. Andrew.
Yeah.
What trivia do you have for us today?
Well, it's not necessarily the most traditional trivia we've ever done, but as a look back, I went on destinytracker.com and pulled all of our stats for Destiny 1.
Okay.
And I don't really have questions associated with this, because really there's no way that you could get it right, because some of the numbers are so, like, you would never realize you actually have in PvE versus PvP or anything like that.
Right.
So I'm just gonna give you some stats.
Okay.
For Christopher.
Yes.
In terms of his PvE summary, and this is according to destinytracker.com. Christopher has 122,000 PvE kills. 37,000 of those are precision kills. So you must have had a primary that you just hammered on that you loved, because it seems
good.
Like a full
That's
fifth
pretty...
of your kills were precision kills.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
You did 565 public events, Christopher.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it sounds a lot.
500.
At least, I mean,
yeah.
For Patrick, let's look at Patrick's PV. And this is a little bit lower because, Patrick, you kind of moved on from the game sooner than the rest of us did.
Mm-hmm.
But you raided a lot. But
yeah.
So your total kills are 66,000 kills.
Mm-hmm.
You have 17,000 assists, which is probably due to be you played so much in team environments, lots of groups.
They call me the cleanup master. The code name the cleaner was always the joke because I am always the one who hurts somebody but doesn't quite kill them. So
you had over 18,000 precision kills. So out of 66,000 total PVE kills,
a third
of them. So you hammered on that Mita multi tool.
Scout rifle for days, bros. Yep. Love that stuff. Love it.
You had 368 public events, Patrick.
That's not
in PVE.
That's not bad.
My stats.
Yes.
For PVE, I had 81,000 kills in PVE. I had 18,000 precision kills, and I participated in 407.
That's a fourth. That's
events.
A you know, four,
pretty decent amount.
407.
I mean, I'm not a gamer on your guys' level. I'll admit that right now. Mm. So I'm happy with those stats. The stats that were most surprising to me were actually my Crucible stats.
Okay.
Thinking back, I actually played a lot of Iron Banner events. I had a lot of Iron. I had actually.
Yeah, you seem to be playing whenever that was came out. Yeah. You were playing that.
You like the Iron Banner stuff.
I played. I played. Let's see. My KD is 0.85 for Crucible all time.
Yeah.
Let's go and make sure that we got the right stats here. Crucible summary. Christopher's KD is 0.83. Surprisingly.
A little less
Patrick's
than...
KD was 0.82.
Oh,
so we actually have equivalent KDs.
Oh, wow.
According to Destiny. Pretty much.
Huh.
Which is interesting to me.
Yeah. I was never very good at PvP.
Not very good, yeah.
Yeah.
For kills per game, I averaged about 11.
Mm.
For Patrick's kills per game, or for Christopher's kills per game, he's right at 10.
Mm.
And for Patrick's kills per game, he's right about 10 also.
Mm.
Yeah, you were playing Titan most of the time?
I played mostly Titan, yeah. That was my main. I didn't level up any other character.
Yeah. I played my Warlock a lot. Is it over the course of my three characters, or is that my overall stats for all three?
It says Warlock? Overview, so I think it takes an average of all of your characters.
Okay.
Is what I think.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I didn't
look
into how the stats are created that much.
Mm. Yeah, that's.
But yeah,
that seems I'm wondering if that's my Warlock character, because wouldn't it take into account all three of my characters? And I feel like that would be a lot.
I think it does. I mean, you can always verify. You can go to destinytracker.com and search anybody in the game for their different stats. So if you want to investigate the validity of all of that. But that's just some trivia in terms of Destiny 1.
Are you just
1.
Giving
the
us...
old game, dude.
Right,
the new game is coming out.
Yeah,
the
new game
is coming out today.
Start fresh.
We'll be playing a
new
lot of
stats
it.
To build starting
yes, sir.
Tuesday night.
Tuesday nice. Night, for sure. It's happening.
Well, Monday night, right?
Tuesday night.
Oh, okay.
Today's Monday.
Today's Monday, bro.
Today is Monday.
Weird. Labor Day, bro.
Dude, I'm so off. Since I got back from Lapine, my days have been so off. I have no idea.
You're wrapped on the movie.
Yeah.
Did you get a wrap gift? I always interesting to hear what kind of wrap gift.
They did not have the wrap gift ready, but I know what it is. It's a denim jacket that says "Everything Sucks" on it. So.
Keeping in the tradition of the
90s, it's
TV
the
night.
It's a 90s nostalgia show, so it's a denim jacket. So it's pretty cool. It's a Levi's denim jacket, so at least it'll be very nice, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, for sure.
But
you got a new. What's the next project?
I have a couple commercials coming up in a week or so, but nothing. Nothing movie or TV show related. Just sort of. Doing the commercial circuit for a little bit here to help pay bills, and commercials pay very well, by the way.
Cool. Nicely done.
So a little of that, but otherwise, you know, nothing. I'm happy to have some time off to relax. I've been working 70-hour work weeks for probably 5 months, so I am okay with laying in my bed all day.
Downtime.
Catching up on some of my scripts that I've been working on, and playing some video games with my brothers and recording podcasts.
Hell yes.
and reading more. I'm cool with all of that. So seeing movies, going to the movie theater, man, I haven't been to a movie in weeks. I haven't seen anything since Dunkirk, I think. So
Go see Wind River and Logan Lucky.
I heard it was great. I heard Wind River and Logan Lucky were good, so I'll probably see those.
Those are the two movies I've seen most recently, and they were both awesome.
I'm gonna go daytime video. I'm gonna go daytime movie those both, I think.
Heck yeah, man, do it.
Yeah, now I got free time, so I love it. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. You should also email us at the show, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should definitely do that because I would love some questions or comments. I'll read them on the show. You should follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com, and Brothers Geek Podcast Facebook, and brothersgeek.com for all your show needs, show wants. That's it, brothers.
Keep inviting, dude.